Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Encavis AG Strategic Outlook Call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, the CEO of Encavis AG, Mr. Dirk Paskert.
Yeah, welcome to today's conference call, and first of all, Happy New Year to everybody. While you were having your festive holidays, we were working hard at Encavis on our strategic outlook for the next decade. As you are probably familiar with, Christoph and myself have prolonged our contracts with Encavis until 2025, and this gives us the headroom to strategically position our company according to the needs of a long-term and sustainable business model. Today, we would like to present you the essence of our strategic outlook, which we named Fast Forward 2025. I will start with the strategic challenges and opportunities ahead of us, and Christoph will guide you through the numbers, giving the beef on the bone. We all know the use of finite resources on this planet has to be drastically reduced in order to cope with the challenges of climate change. We at Encavis have focused over the last 10 years exclusively on investments in power generation from wind and solar, and have contributed to a new energy era where, as others were still writing business plans based on coal and gas. Starting from Germany, we were early movers also in other European markets. Today, we benefit from one of the best positioned renewable portfolios in 10 European countries, independent from any larger energy group. In a nutshell, Encavis is green by nature and not greenwashed. During the last 10 years, renewables were in its infancy. Various support mechanisms were needed in order to give renewables a fair chance to show their real potential. We have seen private and institutional investors enjoying rich subsidy schemes without taking risk. This time comes to an end. The new decade will be driven by business models which allow for economies of scale and scope. The mere investment in a renewable asset won't be enough to earn a decent margin. For the first time, customers will play a significant role. Bilateral contracts for energy supply, the so-called power purchase agreements, will set the margin, and the ability to control risk on a portfolio basis will determine the profitability. These challenges have been taken into consideration and are addressed in our strategy. We think that Encavis is best positioned to be part of and take advantage of this new era of renewable business. However, it's never done in a day or year. It is fading in of new business opportunities and fading out of the models of the past. And as everything in energy business has very long lead times, the decade ahead of us will be characterized by a mix of PPA business and good old-fashioned feed-in tariffs. We think Encavis is best positioned to live up to the needs of such changing environment. More than 10 years of experience in these markets still allow for numerous acquisition opportunities in established markets with satisfying IRRs. We know that falling interest rates put IRRs under pressure, but on the basis of our given portfolio and our network in the markets, we are confident to pursue this business also during the next years. And we will stay disciplined on our IRR expectations. It's more cumbersome to find good deals, but it is not impossible. The new business opportunities are mainly driven by the falling levelized cost of energy for wind and above all solar. If you look at the curve for solar, it becomes obvious that Encavis is particularly well positioned with a portfolio which is 70 to 80% geared to solar. And this is not the end. We see further opportunities in solar technology. Bifacial modules combined with trackers, allowing for higher efficiencies up to 10%, will become standard. and medium-term production costs will further decrease. The motivation for industry to buy green power will be green power is cheaper compared to prevailing wholesale market prices. In Spain, we see already a significant gap up to 25%, and other markets will follow. This is the fundamental paradigm shift in the markets for renewables. Like in Spain, we can already see similar developments in Italy, Germany, Denmark, and potentially France. All these markets show the potential to undercut wholesale prices with solar. The Nordics have displayed that potential since years already for wind. The IRRs for this business have to be calculated differently to feed-in tariffs. Whereas regulatory risk is a very important factor in the feed-in tariff market, it is the individual rating of the off-taker and the term of the contract which determines the IRR expectation for PPA projects. Thus, IRR might vary even if projects are located in the same market. Finally, the profitability of an individual PPA can be improved with a portfolio perspective. The ability to mitigate different risk categories of PPAs within it and beyond market boundaries will be a profit contributor. Given the balance sheet and the international presence of Encavis, we think we are well positioned to take advantage of these effects. But the main question remains, is there enough growth potential ahead of us? Looking at this chart, it becomes obvious that wind and above all solar show the highest growth rates. To be honest, we can't care less what the actual numbers finally will be. It will be enough in order to allow Encavis to do profitable business over the next years. Competing in fast-growing markets on the basis of a proven technology does allow for good business with reasonable margins. Besides the LCOE for renewables, it is the sheer need for green power which drives investments. We all know that industry has to green its energy supply. This was the main driver, for example, for our deal with Amazon in Spain. Amazon has announced to establish a cloud service in that region. The regional data center will only be built if green power supply is secured. This does not only apply for Amazon. Many other tech companies, but also conventional base industry, car manufacturers and else, will have an increasing demand for competitively priced green energy. Our showcase for this market is Talayuela, one of Europe's largest solar parks. With 300 megawatts, a total investment volume of 225 million euros, and 25 million annual revenues backed by PPA, it will contribute significantly to our growth story. Talayuela is complemented by our investment in La Cabrera. With 200 megawatts, 158 million investment volume, and 164 million contracted revenues over 10 years, it displays the magnitude of PPAs which we are able to sign with industrial off-takers like Amazon. In summary, why do we think we are well prepared for the booming PPA markets, as well as for the ongoing business for feed-in tariff markets? Encavis has secured preferred access to know-how for PPA by establishing a dedicated in-house competence team and by investing in market-leading competence platform Hexa Park in Zurich. We are able to leverage our knowledge and network as experienced investor based on recently signed PPAs with a leading European utility and, as mentioned, with Amazon. We have a strong balance sheet with equity ratio of approximately or around 25%, giving corporates adequate comfort to handle risks from long-term PPA contracts. And we have access to early-stage projects without taking direct development risk by signing numerous partnership agreements with exclusive rights in Italy, France, Spain, Netherlands, Denmark, Germany, just to name a few countries. With this appealing strategic outlook, I'm handing over now to my dear colleague Christoph, who will guide you through the numbers behind our strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dirk, for your words and for the strategic basis for our Fast Forward 2025 program. Based on our market knowledge, our current pipeline of PV projects with strategic partners, our financial strength and our approach to PPA and feed-in tariff markets, we this morning implemented our Fast Forward 2025 program. This program in the end comprises two elements. Firstly, securing growth. We implemented a growth initiative which has two parts. Firstly, we are planning to invest in ready-to-build projects and to secure early-stage projects together with our strategic partners with primarily focus on PPA markets. It is worthwhile to note here that, as Dirk already stated, with the securitization of the early-stage projects, we are not taking the direct development risk. In addition to this, we will, as long as it is possible in this market, ongoing opportunistically acquire parks in feed and tariff markets as well. All that growth, which we plan in our Fast Forward 2025 program, knows only one limitation, and this is our balance sheet. Because within all this business plan Fast Forward 2025, we assumed and had the requirement not to plan any equity increase or any issuance of mezzanine capital. So the limitation is the debt headroom we have in our balance sheet for the financing growth. So all projects which we implemented in our Fast Forward 2025 program are purely financed either by the own cash generated by our parks or by the disposal of minority participations in wind projects, or by the debt capacity offered by our balance sheet, which is realized by ongoing amortization on park level. With all that growth which we plan, please note that we, because we are still cautious, only focus on the European market for the time being. The second element of our business plan is that since we are in a severe competition for such projects in this low interest environment, and that we are facing reduced remuneration per megawatt hour due to several effects, i.e. due to feed-in tariff auctions, which are leading to lower feed-in tariffs in the future compared with these ones which we enjoyed in the past, due to competitive PPA markets where the remuneration might slide away as well. And thirdly, that during that period until 2025, the first projects will drop out of the feed-in tariff and will be facing market risk. Since the remuneration per megawatt hour, as I said, will go down, we have to stabilize the margins. And this we plan to do by skimming more systematically economies of scale and scope. Here we have three initiatives. Firstly, we are planning to optimize our O&M cost. Here, our investment into Stern Energy will help. Stern Energy will help us to reduce our cost in PV park over the next 6 years by approximately one-third compared to today's O&M cost. In addition to that, we are planning to optimize our SPV financing. We do have 1.3 billion euros of SPV financing in our balance sheet, which will be reduced year on year by approximately 100 million. But despite that, we are currently negotiating to reduce the for the first park the SPV financing cost. So we do plan until 2025 for approximately 50% of the whole volume to reduce the average cost by 50 basis points. In addition to that, as you might know, we have 263 parks in our group. And all of them, as you can see in our balance sheet in total, currently have a cash position of more than 200 million euros. 77 million out of them restricted cash, 130 million of that non-restricted cash. We are discussing with banks the opportunity to do cash pooling over the parks for these cash reserves, which makes them available to our group for further investment. What does all that mean in detail? We do not give in our business plan any figures for specific years, but we tell you where we want to come out in the year 2025, and we do have the goal to develop the company into that direction on a steady state. Compared with the currently signed own capacity of 1.7 gigawatts at the end of 2019, we plan to double the capacity to 3.4 gigawatts at the end of 2025. This will lead to an increase of revenues from the weather-adjusted forecast for 2019 of 260 million to 440 million at the end of 2025, which is an uplift of 70%. The operating EBITDA should increase from the weather-adjusted 210 to 330 million, and we want to maintain the operating EBITDA margin by the already mentioned measures at 75%. All of that will result into an increase of the operating weather-adjusted EPS of 40 cents, which was forecasted for 2019, up to 70 cents in 2025. What does that mean in detail? We expect that the growth rate of the site-owned capacity will have 12% CAGR, that means an average growth rate of 12% per year. The revenues will increase by 9%, and that is due to the fact what I already mentioned, that the remuneration per kilowatt hour in future will be lower than in the past. The operating EBITDA will grow with 8% and the EPS with 10% every year. Very important is to say that we have always in our focus to keep the solid equity ratio of 24% or more in any of these years. Let's go into some more details regarding the measures which we want to take to fulfill the Fast Forward 2025. Currently, we do have a secured pipeline with our five strategic partners and more to come. The current pipeline covers 2 gigawatt capacities at minimum. This is without the asset management volume. This is purely for the own business, and most of these projects are currently in an early stage phase, but some of them will be pretty soon ready to build. The capacity growth, what we referred to, was currently the signed own capacity of 1.7 gigawatt, which will be doubled to 3.4 at the end of 2025. Please be aware that out of the 1.7 gigawatt of signed owned capacity, 1.2 gigawatt are currently connected to the grid. The 500 megawatt in Spain, Talajuela and La Cabrera are currently under construction and will be connected to the grid at the end of 2020, bringing up our figures to 1.7 gigawatt of connected to the grid capacity. We plan to have, at the end of 2025, 3 gigawatt of capacities connected to the grid, meaning that 400 megawatt then will be under construction. As I mentioned, we are planning to recycle cash. As we have shown in May this year, we are able to sell down 49% participation in wind park portfolios to third parties, and showing, firstly, that we are able to acquire good parks in the market and to sell them even better. And we could show that we de-risk the parks in the meantime, creating a book gain for our group. We do have the intention to go ahead with that strategy, mostly for wind farms and only for selected solar farms. The reason for that is that we not only want to recycle cash, and, by the way, increase the return of such parks, but at the same time to reduce the risk by the park by diversifying the local wind risk. This does not apply to solar farms, because solar farms do not have local solar with sun shines for the last 2 billion years from the same direction, and that won't change. Fourthly, we are planning to recycle debt. What does that mean? As you might know, we have an ongoing amortization on park level of approximately 100 billion euros a year. Since we have an infinite business model with our solar farms, because we believe that the commercial and technical lifetime of such a park is almost infinite, although you have to replace some of the spare parts like modules and inverters, we do have a limited lifetime of our debt. And so with the time being, we create more and more headroom for corporate debt on corporate level. And these 100 million, which we take up at corporate level, together with the cash pooling and the recycling of cash, are sufficient to foster the growth which we already have shown to you. If we discuss that business plan, I would like to make you aware of the case that we only discuss here the base case scenario. So only on the limitation of our balance sheet, the growth potential we have in our group due to the market opportunities and our approach to the PPA and feed-in tariff market. As we have shown in 2016, we are able to take over and integrate companies like Corus Clean Energy, which was EPS accretive and IRR accretive. In addition to that, we are still pursuing potential opportunities in the M&A market, and whenever there is a chance for a company which perfectly fits our needs, we would be able to take them over. So this is another potential which we have would have to add to the Fast Forward 2025. In addition to that, we did not consider any equity capital market transactions and did not consider how to go ahead with the dividend policy 2021. We assumed in this business plan that the dividend policy which we currently have in place is prolonged until 2025. But in a for-growth company, I think it is fair to consider, at least with the shareholders in 2022, how to go ahead with the dividend policy, or maybe in the years to come, if the growth even exceeds what we expect here, to consider equity capital market transactions. But, again, it is not necessary and not a part of 2025 program. Because we only would consider that if we would have additional growth potential. That means that we would go above what we already implemented in Forward 2025 for the growth in our current business, or if we would consider to invest into storage technology or bigger investments outside Europe. These are additional growth potentials which we did not consider in Fast Forward 2025. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for taking the time. And now we are open for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star key on your telephone keypad. I'll repeat, please press 9 and star key on your telephone keypad. Yes, and we have one question coming from Mr. Kim Igor. And Mr. Igor, yes. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, hello. This is Igor from Bankhaus Lampe. I've got a couple of questions. First, if I correctly understood, this 2025 target is mainly based on your own liquidity and a potential divestment of minorities of the wind parks for the 9% and some selected solar projects. But if you let's say plan some acquisitions, we may also assume that equity fundraising would be possible. But the 2025 target that you communicated is purely organic. Let's put it that way, if I correctly understand. This is the first question, and the second is your 2025 target of more than 400 million revenues. What is the breakdown in terms of solar and wind parks could we assume here? Is it similar to what we have today, or there will be more shift towards solar parks or towards the wind parks? And the third question is also what would be the split between PPA revenues and feed-in tariffs revenues in 2025, if you may give some color here. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Kim, for the questions. I will take them. Firstly, to make that clear, and I'm happy for your question because I would like to take away any potential irritation. All acquisitions we have in our business plan Fast Forward 2025 are purely financed by own cash, some cash recycling from sale down of minorities in wind farms, and additional corporate debt we take up on group level. Not a single equity increase due to issuance of new shares or any mezzanine capital or so. So this is only additional growth potential. So if we might see, for instance, an M&A opportunity or a growth which exceeds our growth expectations substantially, then we might come with our balance sheet to some limitation. So that was the only caveat. But in that business plan, no equity increase at all is implemented. Then secondly, you asked for the split between solar and wind in 2025. Honestly said, you know, 2025 is so far away from today. I think no one can tell you. The only thing I can tell you, we are a solar company and we have some wind. And I think it is fair to assume that the portion is almost the same. Then regarding the split of PPA and feed-in tariff, I think we all agree that feed-in tariffs were the past, that there are some feed-in tariffs currently in place and there are some opportunities, but the future will definitely belong to PPA. So we will see over the time being the increasing portion of sales and revenues from a PPA parts.
Okay, thanks. And just one follow-up. Does your target for 2025 suggest further similar PPA contracts that we recently saw with Amazon, with large tech companies?
Yes. To make a short answer, yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
We have one more question, and the next question comes from Tanya Martlov. Tanya, your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I'd be interested in whether you could specify your dividend policy beyond 2021 in terms of a payout ratio of as of EPS, adjusted EPS. So last year we have seen 75%, I would assume for this year, 60% of EPS to be paid out. And so according to the dividend policy beyond 2021, as a percentage of adjusted EPS or for 2025 of the 70 euro cent you target in terms of adjusted EPS, how much as a percentage could we expect in terms of dividend payout? And a second question would be on the average age of your solar and wind park, if you could remind us on that.
So regarding the dividend policy, honestly said, the dividend policy has knows only two limitations. And this is one, what cash is distributed from the parks to the headquarters. And secondly, what is the local GAAP, German local GAAP profit? The relation to the IFRS is more or less defined by accident. So I think if you would assume that we go ahead with the same strategy and then by accident portion of the past, I think it is fair. The average age of our parks, as I always state, is that Encavis is a youth fountain. I'm here for 5 1/4 of the years, and when I started here, the average age, the average remaining feed-in tariff time of our parks was 14 years, and now 5 1/4 of a year later, it's 13 years. Unfortunately, that does not apply to board members here. We are aging at the normal speed, but the parks don't. So currently, again, the remaining feed-in tariff time, which we have in our park, is still around 13 years with a slight differentiation between solar and wind. So for wind, solar, it is slightly longer than for wind. but it's only 13.1 to 12.9. So it's still 13 years. That's it, yeah.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Igor Kim. Igor, your line is open.
Yes, thanks for taking my follow-up question. Just on your potential divestment of the 49% of wind parks and some selected solar parks, one question is what kind of selected solar parks are you talking about? If you could give some color, if not, then it's okay. And could you also give us a bit of color on what amount of liquidity could be raised by divestment of this minority and selected parks?
These are two parts in your question. I would be like to be very detailed on one part and ignore the second part. I will ignore the part regarding the cash distribution, since we are planning to sell down 49% participation in the future of parks, which we do not know today. I'm not able to tell you what cash distribution comes out of that. I'm sorry for that. Secondly, your first part, which I will be more detailed on. What solar parks, you asked, will be possibly be part of such 49% minority stake? The point is, as I said, in wind, we have a specific risk which has to be diversified, which is the local wind risk, which does not apply to solar farms. A 5-megawatt solar farm does not create any risk at all. So there wouldn't be no interest on our side to sell down 49% of that. So this would apply to solar farms if there is a single extremely big solar farm which creates a cluster risk for us, where it could be of interest, but I want to say it as soft, to sell down 49% participation. What we wanted to say with that, we didn't want to exclude it from the business model, but the task is, and the measure is, really focused on wind farms. Because here we see that there's a strategic advantage for the group and for our shareholders if we acquire 100% parks, optimize them, de-risk them, sell down 49% of these participations, create a book gain, as we did in May, of 31% of the 2 years earlier paid acquisition price. By that, increase the IRR of our remaining 51% tremendously, and at the same time reduce the risk for the group, because we use the proceeds of such disposal of the minority stake for the acquisition of new wind farms. In the end, we will have 51% participation in the double amount of wind farms in different regions, and by this totally diversify the local wind risk, but have them on a much higher return. So that is the strategy which almost only applies to wind, and only in few selected areas we might consider to sell a solar farm, but then only if it exposes a certain cluster risk, either because it is always the same off-taker, or it is always the same region, or it is too big, or whatsoever. But this is something I cannot tell you today. We assumed a certain amount in the business plan, but more general.
Okay, thank you. That's clear.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, please press 9 and star key to ask a question. And we have another question coming from Zgaya. Zgaya, your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good wishes for 2020. Clearly, the year starts good for you. And the strategic, we think that the strategic outlook clearly gives greater visibility on the group's medium-term growth, which we welcome. So I have one question on the expected commissioning trend of new projects. Should we expect a linear growth, or maybe growth would be more on a specific years on the coming years?
Thank you, Anna Skaya, for that question. Well, honestly said, it is for you, I think, very tough to go ahead with specific annual growth rates because, well, you don't know the projects, and honestly said, we don't know them either. We have secured a huge pipeline, but as it is with early stage projects, some will fall away and others will come up, will pop up on a later stage. So we don't know the technology, we don't know the country, the region, we don't know the PPA contract yet. We assume, due to our knowledge, certain prices we can reach and certain returns which we will enjoy together. So what I would assume, what we know pretty well, is that in 2020, at the end of 2020, 500 megawatt of Talayuela and La Cabrera will be connected to the grid. Mm-hmm. If we go, since we will go for further PPA projects, these are usually, in average, bigger than the feed-in tariff parks, and so therefore construction will need a little longer than for feed-in tariff parks, as we see at Talayuela and La Cabrera. So, as of the end of 2020, I think you therefore could assume a linear growth until 2025.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dear participants, please press 9 and star key to ask a question. At the moment, there seem to be no further questions. There are no further questions.
Okay, so then I think we can come to the end of this conference call. Thank you, everybody, for participating and listening to Christoph and myself for the strategic outlook. We will certainly guide you and make updates as they are appropriate over the next months and probably more years. So therefore, this is a dynamic business plan which will be updated on a constant basis, and you will hear more from us as, let's say, we develop further into the years. Thank you very much for participating and have a good start into the new year. Thank you.